Continuing our series, What's It Gonna Take? What's it going to take for you, for me, to have a breakthrough with God? What's it gonna take? And another question is, what's holding me back? What's holding me back? What's holding you back? And today I'm gonna suggest that maybe it's as simple as this. Maybe what's holding you back, maybe what's gonna take, it's gonna take a bold action. A bold action. Now, to be bold is to be courageous. It's to be confident. It's to be willing to take a risk, okay? How many are risk takers in this room? How many are kind of not? Most of us are not, okay. Woo, we're gonna have a rough time this morning. All right, perfect audience. This is a Nike sermon, just do it, okay? But not all the time. Because sometimes a bold action is not what you need to take. That is like an insane courage, Laura. Insane action, insane boldness. For instance, I got to tell a story. I told it 2 years ago with my youngest son, Luke. He's now 29-ish or 30, whatever he is, 30, 29. 17, 18 years ago, we went to Florida. And we went to the east side where all the sharks are, okay? That's the side where if there's going to be a bite or attack, it's on that side. And we were right in the middle of it, right in the middle of Florida, Melbourne area, New Smyrna. So anyway, some people we kind of knew had a kayak, and after they were done playing with it, Luke wanted to go out there in the ocean. I said, let's do it. So we go over there, and we ask if we could borrow the kayak. Sure, it's a two-seater. We've never really, you know, did all that thing before, but hey, we're ready. We're ready for some bold action, take a risk, right? Well, this, over there, this particular ocean, or part of the ocean, it goes really far out. Like here to the thrift store, it's like sandbar, and it's kind of sandy looking. I mean, you could walk out this far, and you can see your toes, which is how I like it. But right beyond the sand is the deep blue water. So here's where it's my bad. Sorry, Luke. We come over here and we're going to do it, you know, and we like to never got through the initial waves. We're falling over and we finally get on it. We're going. But I said, our goal is to make it to the blue water and then we'll turn around. We got to go to the deep. That's where it kind of gets stupid, okay? Stupid bold, okay? So we're getting out there and we make it and we're both kind of, I mean, I know I am. I can't speak for him. I'm pretty nervous. So let's turn this little boat around. So this is the shoreline. You're the waves that come this way. We start turn around and guess what? You know what's going to happen? This wave is like slow-mo. It's like, boom. I look up, and that thing is, I know I'm exaggerating a little bit. I know it went to the beams. It was way over my head because we're sitting like this, you know. Sure enough, boom, knocks us over. We roll all the way over, heads down there, you know, and the canoe, the kayak just goes floating off 50 feet toward the shore, and there I am with my son, like 10 feet away from me. He comes up, and I come up, and I'm so nervous, you know, thinking, I'm going to kill my son. He's going to drown. What have I done? This is stupid. And I threw him this one of the paddles. I thought it was a flotation device, and I give it to him, and it's not. He's dead, you know, and we're both thinking we're going to die, and I'm cracking jokes. I bet there's sharks down here, and we're swimming, and it's like terrible. Obviously, we made it. Not all actions, bold actions, are right, okay? I say that because from now on, I'm just talking about being bold, okay? Taking chances, be willing to be risky, because the Bible is full of people, ordinary people like you and me, that were willing to be bold and take a risk with and for God. All right, so where do we get boldness? I don't know where I got this little quote, but boldness is a behavior born of belief. A behavior, an action that comes out of our belief. In other words, our beliefs determine what we do and what we don't do. For instance, if you believe people are going to criticize you, then you're likely to act out in a very cautious way for the fear of criticism. Or if you believe that you're going to fail at something, you may even have this fear of failure, then you're likely you're not going to need to venture out at all. Or if you do, you're going to be very tentatively in your action because of fear of failure, because it's what you believe about God and maybe about yourself. If you believe you don't deserve a true love, a sacrificial love, an agape love, an unconditional love from another person, then you know what? If that's what you believe, then your actions are going to be, you're going to take love any way you can get it. You're going to accept love any way you can get it. On the other hand, if you believe that God loves you, as John talked last week, that he's for you, that he's with you, and that he will give you everything you need in any circumstance that comes your way, then you're going to live boldly for him because you believe that, you receive that. So we're going to talk about a guy named Jonathan today. I guess that's how our Jonathan, that's your name. That's probably where you got your name, Jonathan. We're going to talk about his daring plan today. Just to set up the story, we'll be in 1 Samuel 14 if you do want to turn there, but we'll be there, get there in a second. But just to set up the situation, Israel is in a war, a long-standing war with a people group called the Philistines, and the Hebrews, the Jews, Israel, and the Philistines hated each other. I mean, it's worse than North Carolina, Kentucky. It's worse than Louisville and Kentucky. They hated each other, really, and they killed each other a lot, okay? So that's kind of the setting. And the king of Israel, Saul, and he and his army kind of got in a pattern of, like, retreating from the war and the enemy, and, like, even hiding from the Philistines. And as we talk about these things, I hope you kind of go in your own life, you know, kind of think metaphorically, you know, try to bring it into your own life. But they would hide from the enemy. They got in this pattern of doing that. And this is despite, they were doing this hiding and retreating, despite going back a few pages in 1 Samuel 9, 16, where Samuel the seer, the one God spoke through, he told the people of Israel that they were going to anoint Saul as king and that Saul was going to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. They were going to win the war. They had this promise, okay? We got to keep that in the back of the mind. And then along comes Jonathan, that is Saul's son, the king's son. So 1 Samuel 14, 1 and 2, we'll read those and we'll stop for a second. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul, his father, was staying on the outskirts of Gibea under a pomegranate tree in Migron, and with him were about 600 men. He did not tell his father. We don't know why exactly, but I'll tell you this. Jonathan's got this plan to go over to the Philistines, right? And I think he knew his dad would have nothing of it. And if he told his father, then the plan would be thwarted, okay? So he did not tell his father. Meanwhile, King Saul, he's sitting under this big tree, okay? Instead of picking a fight with the enemy, as Mark Batterson says, he's probably picking pomegranates and kind of chilling, right? Meanwhile, his son is taking this polar opposite approach. Jonathan, it's the very same thing, it's the very same situation, but he's seeing it differently. He's ready to kind of make a run at him, right? So Saul was playing not to lose, and Jonathan was playing to win. And that's really a difference between fear and faith. Saul is playing not to lose, Jonathan playing to win. And a side note on that, I hate when I'm watching my favorite sport team. I'm sorry to talk about sports, but they're winning, okay? And then all of a sudden the other team starts to win. And then my team starts playing not to lose. And I hate that. Okay, back to reality. Saul's playing with fear, okay, not to lose. Jonathan has faith, he's playing to win, and that's the difference. So here's the thing, if you let fear dictate your decisions, then you're gonna live life defensively, reactively, and cautiously. On the other hand, if you develop a bold faith and let your decisions spring forth from that, then you'll live playing, I guess, offensively or proactively. And that's what we're going to see out of Jonathan. And so let's see what motivated him and gave him the boldness to leave the safety of his camp. And maybe that'll help you if you need to leave the safety of whatever's going on in your life. So verses 4 through 6. So on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sina. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash and the other toward the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. For nothing can hinder God from saving, whether by many or by few." So Jonathan makes a bold decision to take a bold action. So he says to his armor bearer, "Let's go over to where these uncircumcised fellows are," which is a way of saying we don't like them. They're dirty people. We are God's people. We have a covenant with God, the true God, and let's go over there. And let me just say this, and this will be for you too, if you decide to take some kind of bold action. His plan is not very logical. It's not very strategic at all. For one thing, he's conceding the higher ground to his enemy, right? They're on these cliffs, he's down here. That is not smart. And then the other thing is, he's choosing to do this in broad, stinking daylight, okay? Not smart at all. Another thing is, he's very much outnumbered, but he believes God. He believes God. And that is where his boldness comes from. His belief leads to his actions, determines what we do. God said, I will deliver you from the hands. And he's like, why not me? Why not now? So, Jonathan says in that verse 6, one of the best lines in the Bible, perhaps God will act in our behalf. Perhaps he will help us. Is that a statement of faith or statement of doubt? Perhaps God will help me. Perhaps God will help us. I think it's a huge statement of faith, because what he's saying to me, perhaps God will, perhaps he will not, but I know he can. You hear me? I know he can. He may not, it matters, but it don't matter, because I know he can. And I know it's a statement of faith because of what he does next. He keeps going. Now, if he would have said, perhaps he'll help me, oh, I'm backing off, that'd have been a statement of doubt. But this is a very true statement about God, because we don't know for sure how and when and where he's going to act, but we know he can, and really we know he's going to act in some way. It may not be how we want it. So this is a faith statement. Perhaps he will act on our behalf. Perhaps, as one version of the Bible says, he will help us. Unfortunately, I think many of us, remember, a lot of us aren't risk takers. A lot of us have been burnt in life in a lot of different ways. So unfortunately, many of us think this. We kind of think he can, but we end up saying, perhaps God won't act on my behalf, so I better stay where I'm at. He may not help me. We let fear dictate our decision. We let fear dictate our bold, potentially bold action. That's why I think the first step, if God's teaching you anything this morning, the first step is often the longest step, the hardest step, and the scariest step to take. There's got to come a moment in our lives. There's got to come a moment when we have to decide when enough is enough. There's got to be a moment when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. There's got to be a moment. As one great theologian said, I'm not sure who he was, there comes a time when you got to poop. Either poop or get off the pot. Erwin McManus says this about the power of a moment, okay? When he defines moment, he says it can be like this, split decision. It could be a month, 2 months, it could be a year. Moment is not really in time as much as it is the power of a moment. He says, here's the power of a moment. A moment is small enough to ignore. You can ignore it. Did I hear that right? I should have said that to the person. You know, was he talking? I mean, it could be anything. You can ignore it. It's small enough, but it's big enough to change your life, your direction. There comes a time when we got to decide. There comes a time where we got to take bold action for whatever it is God may be talking to you, or maybe that thing is that you know to do. You know, if the pain is staying the same as there, Maybe change is not so hard after all. Verse 7. Do all that you have in mind, as armor bearer said. Go ahead and I am with you, heart and soul. I love that. Powerful and encouraging words. Something we all, well, when you think of bold action, what's required to take a bold action, the first thing is perhaps God will act on our behalf. We need to believe God can. That's the first thing. Whatever it is, you've got to believe he can. Without in faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe he can. But the second thing is, this is not maybe not a requirement, but it's a need for us, and It's a good thing if you have that person, that someone with you, heart and soul. That helps a lot. And that is what's missing for a lot of people. We'll get back in that toward the end. So Jonathan decides to go with God and the armor bearer, and he was going to look for signs along the way. As Henry Blackaby says, when we take bold actions, we start taking steps, that's when God clarifies in the midst of our obedience. He doesn't clarify the road for us before we start. He waits till we get going, and then he clarifies as we're obedient to what we think he's telling us to do. I didn't get permission for this, but a good friend of mine is on a board, and they've been struggling financially, leadership changes, and she's been challenged, okay? And it's like, are we going to be able to afford? I don't know if we can make it, if we can keep going, doing all this great ministry and such. And there's so much change. But she is finding out, as she walks in obedience, God is clarifying it, like a Red Sea. It's just opening up. Money is coming in now. Jehovah Jireh is providing. People are stepping up. But you know what? If she or he or you or me, if we don't start walking it out, stepping out in a bold action of faith, what's there to clarify for you? You don't need help. You don't need help. Verses 8 through 10. So Jonathan said, "Come then, we will cross over toward the men and let them see us." That's not smart either, Jonathan. "If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come up to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So verses 11, 12, I'm not going to read, but sure enough, the Philistines saw them coming. They mocked them, saying, "Look, here comes those Hebrews. They're crawling out of their caves. They're coming up to us." And they cordially invited them to come on up the cliff so we can teach you a lesson, is what they said. And you know what Jonathan said? "Ooh, the Lord, that's our sign. The Lord's going to help us defeat them today." And they did. Jonathan and his armor bearer, and the story goes, in a half-acre plot of land, they killed 20 of the Philistines. And more than that, they caused this panic and confusion. And the other guys, the other Philistines, started running and confused and panicked, and they end up retreating. Meanwhile, Saul, the king, is under the pomegranate tree. He has spies out there. They see all the confusion happening on that cliff. So they send all their 600 fighting men and other ones that were hiding in caves. They came out. And then in verse 23, the bottom line, "So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on Beth Avon." I almost read past the word "moved on." The battle moved on. Then I started thinking about our lives. Sometimes seems like life, I don't mean to be pessimistic, but sometimes it seems like life is a daggone war, you know? It's just full of battles. You get through one and there's another, right? Does that seem like life? But I think when I read that, saying how they won that battle for today, okay, and then they moved on. Eventually they get delivered, right? We got to win one battle at a time. One bold action to defeat that one battle at a time, and then another one's presented, and with God, knowing he can, we get the next battle. We keep battling, and then more and more goodness and peace come our way. What's next? All it took for God to save them was a bold action. It started with Jonathan and his armor bearer. And I guess that's all it ever takes, you know? Just a bold action. I showed a movie clip 2 years ago when we were doing our All In series. It's from the movie We Bought a Zoo. Remember that movie? Matt Damon is in it, and based on a true story, and he plays the part of a man named Benjamin Mee, a British writer, Benjamin Mee. And Benjamin bought a zoo, and it was him and his kids were attempting to rescue this zoo, okay? So it's about that. But he's also recently lost his wife. Passed away. He's got two kids, like a middle schooler and a fourth grader, something like that. So stories about them rescuing this zoo and kind of finding their way again. And halfway through the movie, it's a real cool scene. Matt Damon and Benjamin decides to take his two kids to the place where he met their mother. So it's like this cafe. right on the street. There's a sidewalk and a cafe, tons of windows and these little two-seat tables right along there. And they walk in there. And he says, "This is where I met your mother." Then he walks out and he goes to the sidewalk and he's yelling through the window to him. He goes, sometimes all it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage. 20 seconds. Then he walks in the other door and comes back to him, walks in there. He walks to where she was sitting however many years ago. And he said, told the kids, he goes, "You know, now I've got like 15 seconds left in my courage. I already had the thought how beautiful she was, and I got 15 more seconds." So in the movie, he's sitting there, he's like delaying, he's looking at her. In over 15 seconds, she looks at him and smiles. And he says, took him a while, he said, "What is amazing, why would an amazing woman like you even talk to me?" She just smiled and said, "Why not? Why not?" 20 seconds of bold actions. And sometimes I think we do the same thing to God. Why would an amazing God like you talk with me? Help me. Act on my behalf. 20 seconds of insane courage, insane boldness is sometimes all it takes. You know, in the Bible, that's about how long it took Peter to decide to jump out of the boat and walk on the water a little bit before he sank. 20 seconds about how long, remember, I talked about Zacchaeus a few weeks ago. 20 seconds of courage about how long it took him to climb up that tree. He was invited over to Jesus' house that day. He was saved. His life changed. 20 seconds about how long it took, oh, the woman, I talked about her a few weeks ago, the sinful woman who cracked open an alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus' feet. She left forgiven and in peace. 20 seconds. Nehemiah in the Old Testament, it's about how long? Probably not even 20 seconds of courage. He wanted to go back to Jerusalem, repair the walls, and he's living in another country. He's working for the king, and he prayed. The description goes, "So I prayed to my father. Then I asked the king if he would let me go, and he did." 20 seconds. That's about how long it took Rahab the prostitute, when the spies came over to her city, Jericho, she hid them from the authorities. She hid them. And they promised that when they came, Israel came and attacked them, that they would let Rahab and her family live. 20 seconds. And it changed her life. You know why? Because she got married. She was a prostitute, we think. Which, they didn't get married very often back then. She got married. She had kids. Her kids had kids. And her kids had kids. And her kids had kids. And they had, King David had kids, and he had kids. And guess who was born out of this lineage from Rahab? Jesus. 20 seconds of divine courage can change your life. And then there's Moses. Moses, he was reluctant, okay? He made excuses. I can't speak, I can't do this. Finally, he made that choice for that bold action, take that bold action to lead the people through the Exodus. There's Gideon. He was asked to conquer a people group. He's like, "No, don't pick me. I'm the weakest of my whole clan, my whole family. I'm weak. No, not me." "Okay, God, I'll throw a fleece out there. If you do this, then I know you can, and then I know you'll help me defeat this army." God did. God answered his fleece, his test. Then he does it again. That's not good enough. Throws another fleece out there, so to speak. "God, if you do this, then I know you're with me, and I know we can defeat the army." God did it. And then Gideon did too. He gave in. He had the courage to take that bold action. Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds. So what if these ordinary people let their fear and their lack of trust guide their decisions? What if? What if it's the same for you? What if there's something you need to act on and you don't do it? Because you can make a life-changing, direction-changing decision today. Today. This is the coming week. You can make it anytime. It takes about 20 seconds, maybe, of bold courage. So what difficult decision do you need to make? What tough conversation do you need to have? What bold action do you think you need to take? Is there anything? Has God placed anything on your heart this morning? What challenge, what obstacle, what opportunity? That's kind of putting the perhaps twist on things, okay? Fear says it's obstacles and all that. Faith says what opportunity is in the situation. What opportunities are you facing? What is Jesus asking of you? Here are just a few promises that we have to cling, that we can go, take bold action, we can go in faith and trust, because these just a few promises, and John mentioned a few of them last week. God is for us. Have you heard that? God is for us. So you know what that means? Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All promises of Scripture. God is with us throughout the Bible. That's really the story of the Bible. God being with us and wanting to be with us. God works all things out for the good of those who love Him. We could go on and on. Perhaps God will act on our behalf. Perhaps God will help you. Like Jonathan, do you believe that God can act on your behalf? Do you really, really believe that? That's a question we all have to ask. And I am with you heart and soul, that great line. Do you need someone that you can say that you know with all your heart that they are with you heart and soul? Do you have that person? Do you need someone? If you don't, you know, you pray for her or him. You seek him or her. You look and you see someone that you just think that might be someone that could be with you heart and soul. You pray about it, you look for that, and God will provide that person. Maybe that's what you need. Yesterday, last time I kind of went through my message, imagining you people in here. I'm sure I look really good up here. But I just kind of speak like you're here. And I started thinking about that, perhaps. Oh, good night. Can you chin and quiver going? I started thinking about perhaps God will help me or help you. And then I started thinking about it. I am with you heart and soul, my last two little things there in bold. And then I remembered the day in 2013, old John Boy showed up, Jonathan showed up. It was right before church, and you know, I knew him from Third Baptist days. I kind of did youth ministry there off and on, and he was very irritating to me for several years that back then as a teenager. Oh my gosh. And his son Grady is carrying the mantle. I love it. So anyway, he came early. He was at a church, you know, youth minister, another church in, around the Lexington area. And he came early, and we were talking. He sat over here on the piano. That's why I just looked over there yesterday, and I went. And the conversations ensued, and we couldn't afford him. And we kept talking and talking. And then ended up being, he said, I want to come. I feel called. And I said, well, come on. I don't know if you're called or not, but come on. We'll take you. But it ended up being like, we don't know if we can make it financially. John, can you make it on $24,000 a year? That's about what we can promise you here at this church. And that was stretching it for us. Just started a thrift store and all that stuff. But it's one of these things. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. That's how we went into it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but I sure know he can. And he did. And because of that action, he has a Jonathan, and I've got a Jonathan, really, because I know he's with me heart and soul. And I hope he knows I'm with him heart and soul. Now, are we going to fight and see things different and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, right? But the bottom line is, I've got him that I know is with me heart and soul. Got my bride of so many years, 30-something. I'm sorry, I don't know what it is. Whatever 1984 is. 30, what? 38. Thank you, men. Coming through. I know she's with me, heart and soul. I got others, kids and such, too. That's a good prayer to have, because it helps me most of the time take bold action. But the main thing is, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Let's pray together. Father, we just, I'm sure there's so much on our minds. So much. If we sit and think about it, we all have a bold action we probably need to take. Yes, we need to pray about it. Yes, we need to seek wisdom. Yes, we need to do a lot of things, but bottom line is, God, we just need to do it sometimes. We deserve sacrificial love from others. We deserve goodness from others. We deserve a good life. You created us. Why would amazing God want to act on our behalf? Because you love us. You created us. So, Father, I just lift up each person in this room, those who are listening via maybe Facebook or our website, podcast. I just pray that you increase our faith, that we look to you and just know that you can do it. Nothing's impossible for you. And just give us the courage, fill us with the courage to just take a step, that first hard step, whatever it may be. So Holy Spirit, just convict us. Just make us do whatever it takes to get closer to you and right with you. So Lord God, as we worship out, we just thank you for our many, many blessings, and just pray for you to take away our fear. Help us to not be afraid in whatever opportunities or obstacles we face. So God, we love you, and we pray this so much more in your Son's precious name. Amen. Stand as we worship.